Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, joined with our regular co-hosts, Nick and Randy. How's it going, Nick?
Yo! How are you? I can't pull quite a perfect Randy yet, but I'm getting close.
How's Randy doing?
Yo!
There you go. Ooh, there go the ears.
I'll compress it, and it'll sound good in the final edit, so... Good morning.
Make sure mine
good
sounds really
morning.
Crappy.
Good
hey, that's
good
my job.
Morning, ladies
Hi,
and gentlemen. Or good evening, depending on
hello,
when you're
everyone.
Listening to
good
this.
Hello. Good hello.
When this inevitably gets posted at 11:59 on
it
Monday.
Still
hey,
counts.
I made it. I was not late. I was so perfectly on the time. Like, you know.
That is by all definition on Monday. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But
it got posted. But we've got some interesting stuff to talk about between Model Y launch. Mm-hmm. We've got, I think since the last time we've talked, two Apple events were announced. At separate times. We've got one of the most reliable leakers in the past telling us there's a brand new iPad coming, so we have a lot to talk about. But I think what we all have on our minds right now is the Tesla. So we should
actually,
start with the Model Y.
Before we do, just a quick update.
Oh,
this is
okay.
This is very sad. Before we get into the fun stuff, just a quick update. Last
week
when we talked about this, Nick switched to Android, and I ordered mine, and
that's
it was
right,
en route in 7 days, and it took less than 7 days. But in 7 days, all that just went to crap. And what happened, Nick?
So, yeah, I returned it.
Oh,
I lasted,
that was quick.
I lasted almost 20 hours. Almost 20 hours.
Not quite a full day.
No.
Meanwhile, at the time of recording this, I'm still rocking the S10.
Which will ask you about that later. I'm just, you know, some updates.
Okay,
no one cares about you, Drew. No one cares.
Oh, wow.
Literally zero people care. Let's talk about me.
I just love that, Nick, you were like, this isn't as bad as I thought. It's like, it's a really good phone.
Five hours later.
And then like 5 hours after we record the podcast, you're like, well, I'm done.
Back on iPhone.
I got my...
So much so that I was like so hesitant. I was like, you know what? Because Amazon kind of skipped my order date, I just went back. I was like, just don't give it back. I told them, refund me the money, and they just credit it to my account instead. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm still an Android.
So you're not doing the
I'm
challenge
not
at all.
The challenge. Just yet, just yet. Maybe your review on
yes.
the Galaxy
okay.
will change my mind. But for now, I'm still Android version.
BS. No, it won't.
It probably won't. But hey, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that was just a quick update I wanted to share with you guys.
So, yeah, there are a couple of reasons. While we're talking about it, I'll tell you guys the six or seven reasons why I decided to leave my
please.
My OnePlus.
Yes.
Okay. The whole experience on Android wasn't the worst. Like, I'll definitely admit, it's a decent phone. We already talked about it, it's a third of the price of my XS Max.
Yeah.
It's
That's quite a deal.
It's a decent phone for what you pay for. Mm-hmm. There's no arguing there. I just couldn't really get used to Android in general. Now, I use my iPhone in some very specific ways, and when I went to use my Android in those ways, it wasn't working. So I don't know how everyone else scrolls, but whenever I scroll... I like flick real quick and then tap and hold the screen to stop the scrolling. I find that the most efficient way to scroll because you scroll past the content real quick and then you tap it and it stops the scrolling instantly. That's how it works on YouTube on my iPhone, on mail on my iPhone.
Okay.
That's how it works on my iPhone. Unfortunately, on an Android, whenever you tap, you flick real quick and you tap, you start watching that YouTube video. And that got really frustrating. I'm just, like, scrolling through my recommended, and I scroll real quick and tap to stop the scrolling, and it'll just start playing some random video. I'm like, dang, what is going on here? That was one thing. Also, I noticed that the OnePlus 6T doesn't have very good edge detection, or, like, edge rejection. So on your iPhone, even you can, like, touch the side of your screen, and it'll just ignore it. But the OnePlus doesn't ignore any of that. So if you're watching YouTube, remember, this is, like, almost a bezel-less phone. You're watching YouTube, and you're just on YouTube, and you like hold the phone, you turn it or whatever, it'll like register those as clicks, and then like all of a sudden you're watching some other YouTube video. It's like the most annoying thing in the world. And so then
you should imagine
you have to, then you have
S10 Edge phone. Yeah.
That sounds even
worse. Gets even worse.
That sounds even worse. Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, so that was a little interesting. Also, there, I noticed there was no rubber banding. I didn't realize that other companies didn't have this. You know how when you get to the top of the list on the iPhone, it kind of like does that little rubber band thing? Mm-hmm. My OnePlus didn't do that, and I was really confused as why it doesn't do that. But I guess the patents or something, I don't know. But it does have a little animation.
I can confirm that the Android ultimately has kind of a more clunky feel in regards to navigation. There's YouTubers and people who have shown videos of like the efficiency of swiping and the back swipe and the gestures you can get on an iPhone compared to an Android of like there's more, what do you call it? Misread swipes.
Yes.
Misunderstood gestures on the UI. Like I wanted to talk about this a little bit in my S10 video of just like what we mean by a fluid operating system. And like you notice that when you're in an app on an iPhone and you swipe up, that app tracks with where your finger is the whole time, and it will until you want to let go of it, and then it'll jump back to where it goes on the home screen. And if you compare that, I'm sorry, I'm using visuals, but the podcast listeners can't see them. When you do this on an Android, if you are using the gesture controls on the Galaxy S10, which the One UI has built in, they don't have that same the tracking when you swipe the apps down. So when you're swiping up, it just kind of registers it like you press the home button.
Yeah,
it just kind of goes back to where it was on the home screen. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah,
and to activate the multitask, when you swipe up, it activates Google Assistant. So their approach on One UI was, we'll swipe up here to activate multitasking, and then swipe up here to go back. Even though it's like I'm sliding to the UI from left to right, but I'm swiping up. So it's kind of bizarre. I mean, it works. Like you said, you can get used to Android, but I think that that doesn't necessarily make it more fluid or intuitive that you can get on the iPhone. So I noticed that, and it makes me want to go back. I still do.
It's coming. Late with that.
You're
now.
Almost done.
Yeah. Almost done. You're so close, Drew.
I think I'll probably switch back today.
Ooh.
I think today's a good day.
Today, as of recording it, today is the 16th. So,
correct.
Whenever this comes out or whenever he starts talking about it, that's a solid. How about was that 2 weeks? That's been 2 weeks, right? 1 week? No,
not quite. I think
he's a quitter. Like, never mind, guys.
Eight to 9 days. I think it's a 9 days, which is enough for me. I think that's a decent amount of time for someone to have a phone. Is there
besides watching you hold
or 20 hours?
So the last two things that kind of put me over the edge on the OnePlus. So I have these really old Apple earphones. They're like the OG ones that came with the OG iPhone, not earpods. And they're the only 3.5 jack headphone I have. And they're kind of cheap because, it's Apple and,
Apple's known for being cheap.
Totally. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, back then they were cheap. So affordable. They're not very well shielded. And so I noticed whenever I put the OnePlus 6T with these headphones in my ear next to the wire for these headphones, I heard a buzzing. It was like,
bzzz. Ooh.
When I put my iPhone, same spot on the headphones, I didn't hear that buzzing. So I'm like, I think I'm getting cancer. I can now hear myself get cancer. Lovely.
That's probably what it is.
Exactly what it is. Yep. All the it's a big conspiracy. All the smartphone manufacturers that are not Apple put cancer chips inside their phone.
Yep. And that's what 5G is.
That's exactly 5G. Rot your brain out. Yeah. So there was that, and I was just that kind of just like made me not want to hold it. It's like,
yeah,
what is this? I don't know. I'm sure it's fine, but maybe not. So anyway, so it's kind of using my iPhone more. Near the end of my 1 day using it, I flipped the hotspot on my OnePlus, and I just used my iPhone, and then I blew through all 15 gigabytes of my unlimited hotspot data.
Oh yeah, hotspot data. Right.
It's like, ah, crap. What am I doing this for anyway? But the last thing, the last thing that put me over the edge on the OnePlus 6T, I was watching a YouTube video. And I set it down on top of my iPad. Just on top of my iPad. The OnePlus 6T sitting on top of my iPad.
I think
and the OnePlus 6T locked. It locked. No, Randy and I have talked about this offline, but the podcast listeners haven't heard this. It just locked. The OnePlus 6T just locked. I was like, what the heck? So I opened it up.
That's
and,
weird.
And it, you know, I had unlocked with my fingerprint, and that took like 30 seconds, but, you know, whatever. And then and then I set it back down on my iPad, and it locked again. I was like, what is going on here? So evidently, like, some of the magnets or something wasn't, you know, something or other. I don't know. But, like, the iPhone has that lock detection thing where you can put the smart wallet case on it, and it'll lock. And
yeah, so yeah.
It works. Uses the same technologies I'm sure the OnePlus was using. I tried getting my iPhone to lock on my iPad, and it wasn't locking. So
that's weird.
I don't know. Yeah. So
this is actually a feature. iPads intentionally turn off Androids when they're too close.
Gross, don't touch me.
That's the iPad. That's what it's saying when you put the Android too close. I want to see if I can get that to happen with my S10.
Yeah, that'd be,
I want to put it on the iPad. Weird.
It like happened anywhere on the iPad, like within like the top, you know, when you're looking at it in landscape, like where the magnets are.
Well, Nick, like you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So abrupt transition I swapped my Model Y.
So, yeah, Tesla, are we switching gears now? Sounds like a good idea. What
no
did you think
intended.
Of the event,
That's
Drew?
Funny. No pun intended. I'm sorry. I had a, I just had a, like, that was good.
You made it even funnier, Randy. Thank you. Okay. No, what was your question, Nick?
What do you think of, what did you think of the event, the Model Y event?
I love the Model Y. I thought the event was horrible.
Aww.
I know we may disagree on this, but for one, I love Elon. Elon's great, but
well,
I kind of like it when he tries, but
the,
honestly, I thought them
Model Y and the what I mean to say is
the man is such a genius. He has so many things going on inside his head that he can't figure out how to communicate with us peasants. That when he starts having to communicate on the normal reality in English, he can't get all his thoughts out. So it just turns into this jumbled mess of like a if you put paragraphs of thoughts together and stuck them in a blender and then just poured them out on the kitchen table. That's how Elon talks. He's just like, so and then he listens to the crowd shouting out too much. I just think it shouldn't be called the Model Y unveiling because that was about 10% of the event. It's like the last 10%.
Should have been Tesla history lesson.
And right, he wanted. First of all, they were late, which was not good because. Yeah. I personally thought this was a horrible time to have an event, 8 o'clock on the Pacific time zone, which means 11 o'clock for the East time zone. This is very late on a Thursday. This is very late for a lot of the country, in the U.S. We're all staying up very late and we're working longer than we thought and people had to fly out there. And then they're 20 minutes late, so we're already staying up late, and people likely have school or work the next morning. And they don't start till 8:20. 8:20 rolls around, and it's like, we want to tell everyone the history of Tesla for the next 30 minutes. And it's like, well, we know all that. That's why we're here.
I don't think there's a single
person watching this that,
in the modern day, at least in the first world countries, that does not know what a Tesla or who Elon Musk is.
They may not know, but they wouldn't be watching this if they didn't know.
They wouldn't have gone to
the event. The only people
preaching to the choir
watching the Model Y event, yeah, the people watching the Model Y event know all about Tesla. That's why we're interested. So it was kind of, yeah, it was kind of preaching to the choir. And then once the Model Y came out, I thought the lighting was so bad because I couldn't even, I couldn't see it all the way. I was kind of like,
is that a Model 3?
Is that the Y? It's got, like, they didn't have a ton of spotlights on it. So I couldn't see it very well until later, and Marquez did his video on it. That's when
I
could see it.
I couldn't see it well.
Right. All the people, all the press who were there recording the Model Y, they couldn't get good lighting of it because it was so dark. And it's like, why not have this event, like, Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, so it's, like, daytime, and everyone's, like, either off work or off school, and they can watch it. And for the, you know, for the East Coast, it's, like, 1 o'clock. So it's after lunch or whatever, you know, like whenever, like it's at a good time for everyone. The lighting's good, and we don't need. I don't think we needed the 30-minute history lesson, because basically he came out on stage. The Model Y finally drove up, and everyone's like, whoa, there's the Model Y. This is cool. And then he just kind of flashed all the tech specs on the projector. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there they are. All right, thanks. And then he walked off stage.
I was waiting for them to roll the pickup out. Like, he ended it so
quick.
Yeah,
I thought there was going
to
be.
For him to, like, click the next slide and he'd be like, oh, wait. Oh, sorry, we have another thing. Or, like, you know, oh, wait,
right.
One more thing.
It was, like, start to finish a 40-minute presentation.
That's why they started late.
And there was a lot of people who had to, like, fly out there to see that. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't have to travel to go there, because I would have been so mad
hoping Drew never gets big enough, successful enough to not get invites. Here's the hoping, Drew.
I mean, you know what, Drew? If you want to pass that along to me, I'd be more than happy
I will gladly do it.
Wait in line and
well,
see
as
Elon.
We are
We're enabling
official
him, Drew,
developers
we
now,
stop.
So we can reserve tickets for WWDC
that
if we
true.
Want to, but we have to get picked. So
I
mean, I'll go to WWDC.
Why?
I will have you go.
Sweet.
If I get invited to any event.
Sounds good.
You will be my vessel.
Sorry, I don't think
romantic.
I could pull off your hair. Or your beard.
What did you guys think of the Model Y
Honestly,
event?
Yeah, Randy,
we,
what did
no,
you
wait,
think?
Hold on. We're saving you for last, for obvious reasons. I don't think there's a single person who listens to this show who does not know, so we're saving you for last.
Thanks.
Okay.
I will say I didn't care for it. Like, I don't care for the Model Y.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We can't be friends anymore.
We're gonna have disagreements on the Tesla.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh.
I think the Model X is a way better built, designed, no compromising. I felt like the Model 3 doesn't compromise on anything for it being a smaller vehicle, and this weird hybrid. I've never been a fan of these hybrid SUV sedan car things.
Yeah, crossovers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Crossovers. I was spacing, but I'm not a fan of them. I've never been a fan of them, and I
am pulling up the website. I'm going to compare the Model X here.
I like the design, the build of the Model X, and I will never drive a Model X because I'm too small for one. But I think functionality wise, the Model X is better than the Model Y, and. If we're going with size, then the Model 3 is more affordable at baseline model than the Model Y. It's not for me. I don't have a family like that. I don't have kids. I don't have a need for an optional third row. And I think what Marquez talked about, which has always been my concern with crossovers, is when you're in the back anyway, like, you're pretty much going to be kind of uncomfortable in the back row of that. And all that for, you know, getting the panoramic, you know, sunroof. Yeah, it's cool, but I just, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a solid 7, and everything else gets an 8 or 9.
7's not bad.
I don't hate it. I just don't care for it. It's the worst. It's the worst one for me. In order to be modeled.
Well, Nick has kids, Randy.
Apparently, because Nick, what did you think?
Watch as I act like I'm shocked. Okay, yes. Everyone act like you're super shocked. This is breaking news. Definitely hasn't been on Twitter yet.
You heard it here first.
No, I haven't looked at Twitter.
Yeah, I put a reservation down for a Model Y. I know, Sean.
What?
Oh, my God.
No, Nick.
No way.
Are you serious?
I had
right
no idea.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Randy, we're losing your connection. It's lagging up. It's lagging out.
No. Oh my gosh. Yep. So
So tell us the thought process, Nick.
Yeah, so I think it was more of an impulse buy than I would admit publicly, but gosh darn it, I think this is publicly.
You just admitted it.
So maybe it was. I don't know. So this was my rationale. Before the event, I was thinking maybe I could swing it. Maybe I could put a reservation down for $1,000 is what I was thinking, and be able to save up for the next few months and be able to afford one. Because I would really rather not have a loan if possible, and if I do have a loan, make that as small as humanly possible and pay that off as quickly as possible. So that's kind of my thought process there. But yeah, so the event ended, and I sat around and waited a few seconds for Elon to unveil the pickup, but I guess he didn't. So I was like, okay, well, I better go to the website.
Wait till later.
And yeah. Like, I was already pumped. Like, I was like, okay, this is, I love SUVs. Maybe I should back up even further. Every car that I've ever owned, any car my family has ever owned, except for pickup trucks, mm-hmm. have always been SUVs. Okay. I've never owned a car. I've never owned, you know, crossover
like
or anything.
Like a standard sedan.
Yeah, never, none of those.
Okay.
I haven't owned a smart car. I'm not even sure what bucket that would fall in. But I've always owned SUVs. So I kind of already knew that the Model X was my favorite out of all of them. But I like the Model 3 because of the interior and stuff. And my dream had always been to have a Model X with the Model 3's interior. And so
that's a good point.
I'm looking at this car. I'm like, well, it has the Model 3's interior. And it does. About, you know, 70% of the size of the Model X. It's about the same size as my car right now. I love my car. I have a 2008 Ford Escape. It's the perfect size for me. It's big enough where I can throw like a table in the back or my two friends, although sometimes finding two friends is hard. Yeah. But theoretically, I could put
tell
them
me in about
the
it.
Yeah. So,
this is great, guys.
So anyway, I really think the Model Y is a good car for
me. We're not
me.
Friends, Nick. We're colleagues, by the way. I just want you to clear the air.
Okay.
Well, we all live in basically different states, so.
Yeah. Northern California is like.
Yeah.
Northern Cal. Californians know that NorCal is basically a different state than Southern California.
It's just extended Oregon.
Oh. South Oregon.
South
well,
Oregon.
Well, you guys are North Mexico, according to the NorCals.
Yeah. Randy lives in North Mexico.
This is true, yeah. All right.
Well, okay, interesting. Yeah. I had no idea this was going to be our dilemma. So I anoint myself as moderator now of the Model Y debate because I can see and argue both sides.
Oh, no.
So here's my viewpoint on the Model Y, ignoring the event. I do think it's an important car. While I agree with Randy, it's not useful for me. I don't need a Model Y because I personally, unlike Nick, am used to driving, you know, a regular size sedan, like nothing too big. I'm not used to having that much space. I drive a Hyundai Sonata that came out the year the iPhone came out. And it's I'm used to smaller cars, and I actually prefer smaller cars, which is why, in my opinion, for me personally, the Model 3 is a better investment because it's a little bit cheaper. When you start maxing out the specs, you can get better range. However, what I see the purpose for in the Model Y that Marquez touched on in his video is SUVs oftentimes, because of people like Nick and people who are parents and
people
and have
like Nick
and need to store people who are used to having those SUVs, oftentimes, a lot of people don't know this, outsell regular sedans.
Yep.
Simply because of their seating options and their trunk space and just the other thing I'm kind of jealous of with the Model Y, because I know I'm probably not going to get one, is they sit higher. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kind of fall into it like you do a Model 3. You know, you can have a chair that's about where a normal office chair would be when you open that door. And while I agree with Randy about the Model X being cooler and better designed, it's probably a drastically different price range a lot of everyday users and drivers out there wouldn't be able to afford. As I'm comparing all the specs, as you guys were talking on the website, and the starting price for the cheapest, absolute bottom line Model X is $88,000. So compare that to when the Model Y is all ready and it's all prepared to be released and even the standard range models available, they want to start the Model Y at $39,000, which is actually less than half of the Model X, which I agree, Model X is cool, probably has better seating.
Don't you mean cooler?
Although I do agree it's cooler. I would agree with Nick that I prefer the Model 3 interior with the center display and not two displays, in the more minimal look of the Model 3 interior, as all three of us have been in one, and that was amazing. I prefer that look. I've sat in a Model X before at a Tesla store, and it's cool, but I definitely think the 3 looks more futuristic.
Yeah.
So the idea that, you know, we've got a lot of middle-class families with both the mom and dad working, so they could, for the price of one Model X, get 2 Model Ys that they can haul the kids in, or they could haul work stuff in. So basically, what I think probably me and Randy would agree on is it's a cool car, but it's not for us. But in my opinion, I think for the future of Tesla, the Model Y is going to play a huge role in their success, that you can now get a crossover, because it doesn't exactly look like an SUV like a lot of people are saying. It does look very similar to a Model 3, but because it's more roomy, it's bigger, and it's got more space. And honestly, starting price compared to Model 3, only $4,000 apart. Not that big a price gap.
And if you look at the 2 highest-end performance models, it's only $2,000 apart.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. It's pretty close in pricing to a Model 3, which means that I think that while looks-wise, it may not be the best, or like feature-wise, it may not be the best. It's going to play a very important role in Tesla's future. Like, it needs to exist.
Aesthetic pleasing, and that's a good thing. I think the Model X, although it's also functional, I think the aesthetics of the doors and all its little gadgets, like, I think that that's a very good selling point, where the Model Y does have more functionality in a real practical scenario, and not so much as a collector's item or a guy who has too much money and doesn't know what to spend it on.
It's not the Fabergé egg. There you go.
But I think what I like is, I think we also still kind of conclude that's like, just, and maybe because it's only our experience, but the Model 3 is still kind of like low-key, high-key our favorite, because we live in the interior. We're never outside of the vehicle. So being in the interior, we all agree, it's like, no, this is – nothing's touched that yet to be like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I judge something based off the interior, and we love the Model 3 interior. And, yes, kudos for Model Y for doing that. But, yeah, just I think nod on the head just doesn't fit us. But all things good, considering it, congratulations on the down payment pre-order, and I look forward to
becoming
your
pumped.
Friend
yeah,
again
I'm
when you get the car, so I have reasons to, you know.
Yeah, so I was actually thinking about that, and depending on where I take delivery, we might have like an official Talosa fan meetup or something and do rides or something.
Ooh.
I would love to do that.
That would be cool.
You know?
That would be cool.
Get connected with the
community. Do it clown car style. Get like 30 people in there. Yeah. Then have it drive itself.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
And if Elon's right, even if we doubt Elon and say that autopilot's going to take a lot longer to come out, by the time you get the Model Y, full autonomy might be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we can all play rock, paper, scissors.
That's a trippy thought. Yeah. I think so my not-so-exciting announcement, but my sort of semi-exciting announcement is I'm ordering a Tesla Semi. I have talked it over with the wife a little bit last night. We talked a lot about Teslas and about the future. And for those who don't know, on the Tech Podcast, we're going to be moving out of my current office to work from home for a little while to save money. And this money that we're saving over the next 2 years is going to be money towards a Model 3 in about less than 2 years now. But in around 2021, I'll be able to buy one.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
You knew this.
I'm just trying. I gave Nick my fake enthusiasm shock. I wanted to balance it a bit.
Oh,
this
thanks.
Is good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think just that's a very good strategy in general, because, you know, more Teslas equals more cares. And saving money, more money really equals more cares. And yeah, this is cool. Guys, by the way, listeners, I feel like I'm talking to the choir, preaching to the choir here, but still, just in case, one-offs, you're not you're not subscribed to the Talks channel, do it, because Drew showed what he's planning on kind of like designing the new layout to be, and the fact that he's going to implement more of the lighting to change the back. I think it's so cool, and I'm now inspired to do the same. And you guys got to, like,
cool,
even though
cool.
it's very, like, don't judge it based on what you see, but go take a look at the video if you haven't, because I'm excited to just see that, because that's thinking outside the box, my friend. And I can't wait to see that. But all things considering, you know, in due time, it'll happen. That's good. Yeah.
And, you know, getting a
nice. My goal is to not paint anything.
Laziness has its benefits.
That's right.
We conserve our finite energy for other things. Yeah.
Like Twitter.
Right.
Like Twitter.
That's right. Yeah.
So let's talk about next subject.
Apple event.
Oh, yeah, Apple event. Yeah, let's do that one.
Two Apple event.
That's crazy, right? And since we last recorded, we had back-to-back almost releases in the last 7 days. We could have made a whole episode
real
on
close.
This, but I'm glad that's not the case. But
and the events on the next Apple events on the 25th, I think there's a Google event on the 19th.
Oh, dear. We can skip that one. Save us some time.
We can skip that one. And then the WWDC, as predicted, was on June 3rd. No surprise there. But, now it's official, and we just got to wait. But we've talked a lot about what we think is going to happen at the 25th event. But given we have this inside source that has a really, really good track record with predicting iPhone names and iPad tech specs, that's not someone guessing. You know, this is someone who's inside, who's tweeting things out. He said that there's going to be a 10.2-inch, you know, budget iPad, which I'm pretty sure is going to be at the March event. Not going to be a surprise there. But he also said there's going to be an updated non-Pro 10.5-inch iPad that's not released at the same time. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts or anticipations are for that. What do you think this is? Is this a different genre? Like, what's Apple's angle here?
I think they're trying to get rid of I think they're trying to move towards off-screen display as quick as possible.
Mm.
That's my thought. Good. Especially with iPads, you know how they just keep the new iPad 27, they just naming schemes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We can call it a new line, a new model. We can call it whatever we want. But I think ultimately what they're doing is they're just as quickly as possible, since we see how great – look, we're all on our iPads. We love them. They want to move towards that and make it not a Pro version of that. That's my working theory. So far, they just want to get this the Face ID out there. It's the 10R of iPads. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I was anticipating too. iPad R.
IR. iPad R. Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, because I kind of see the R as being a what's it called? Mid-range is probably the easiest way to say it, but the more technical aspect of like the 10R, because people are always like, this isn't a budget phone at $750. And it's like, okay, but in relation to
everything else,
the 10S, it's more affordable, you know, so we call this budget premium.
That's right.
this is a premium budget phone. It's a high end. It's the most expensive budget phone there is.
And it's still beautiful. I miss. So, I see you holding it. I miss my 10R. I do.
Oh, really?
I really do.
Hmm.
Wasn't anticipating.
I know, I
really
do. Like the 10S is small, and I knew that. So therefore, battery's compromised, and I knew that too. I still stand by, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm not the tallest, biggest guy, but the 10R is the perfect size of a phone. I will always echo that, and I miss how it feels and the battery life, and it just, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm holding a premium product with that one, and so therefore I kind of treat it more like a phone and less like an accessory. And with my 10S, I love it, and I baby it, and now it's in the smart battery case, and everything's great about it. Everything I missed about it is satisfied, but at the end of the day, functionality-wise, I just feel like there's still more pros towards the 10R. I'm the outliner because I like having the second lens and OLED and blah, 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 but I miss it. It just feels strong. It's a good phone, and the longer I keep thinking about it, as the months go on, I think the 10R was one of the greatest workarounds Apple's done in a long time for trying to mass market it to people. My girlfriend, who doesn't care one way or another about tech, loves that phone, and she's like, well, she held on. Like, she's the person who held on to her 5S longer than she needed to, held on to her 7. She came from a 7, And sure, so she's going to hold on to that phone for a while. And she's like, this is freaking perfect. Selfies are on point. Camera's great. She doesn't care about the telephoto. she likes everything about it. She goes, yep. And she loves the fluidity, you know, how everything, like the gesture controls. She picked it up like that. And, I'm like, yeah, you know, hearing it from a non-tech person just it validates what I was already thinking about. I think it's just the greatest universal phone. There's these premiums that we like, the OLEDs and the stuff like that, and it has its. I messed up. You guys got the Max and I didn't, so good on you with the battery. But
well, I don't have the Max anymore.
Oh, but you will if the product Red comes out next week.
I'm so scared.
I'll do it. Hey, I will eat the cost and do it too.
No, I'm saying if there's no product Red Max, then I can't go back to the Max. But if there is, I can go back.
If there's a product Red stainless steel, I'm there.
It's a lot writing.
I'm there. Bet. 100% I'll do that.
We'll eat it.
I'll eat the cost on that one. It's too sexy.
But what did you think of what's your thoughts on the 10.5-inch iPad, Nick?
I'm not going to get it. I'm in saving mode, so I can afford this Model Y.
I won't get it, but I'm just curious what you think it'll be.
I don't know.
He's too cool for us now, Drew. He doesn't care about your questions.
I don't give any cares. I'm all about this Tesla. He's just hearing, I think we need to change blah, blah, this blah, podcast blah, 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 to the Model Tesla Y, Tech Model podcast. Blah, blah,
blah. Welcome back to the Model Y podcast.
He's the Wyatt in the Saturday short. For this.
Yeah.
No. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I think it's interesting that we might be going back to the iPad Air lineup. That would be kind of cool. Let's fix our naming conventions, please. Apple.
That would make so much more sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Goodness.
But here's what I was curious about. What would you do to the iPad Pro to make it a non-pro, but still gaining... You know, the gesture control, one size bezel all the way around, Face ID. Knowing those things are staying, what would you make a mid-range iPad features be so that it's not, you know, $330 old-fashioned iPad with Touch ID, headphone jack, and bezels? And yeah, we don't care about that. But how do you make that middle ground iPad?
Lightning, old 10.5-inch iPad case. But redesign the screen so it goes edge to edge. Stick Face ID in it.
No keyboard.
No keyboard. Well,
smart connector.
If they're using the same case as the old 10.5-inch iPad Pro, I could see them just sticking the smart connector on it.
But I feel like the keyboard is what gives it that extra oomph. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I would say no stylist
Pro feel. Not for me.
Stylist?
No Apple Pencil support.
Who needs a stylist?
Who needs a stylist?
The budget iPad has Apple
Pencil
support.
And I felt like, that's an interesting thing because I felt like if you were to dumb down a Pro, here's what I feel like I would keep all the time. And I thought about this. The only thing that feels like important to me and for everybody, keep the four speakers on each end. You know, two on each end.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the only thing that should roll over. And obviously Face ID. And if you want to keep the aesthetics the same, sure, have at it. But I think no smart connectors to include the Apple Pencil, the keyboard case. And I thought about, Lightning. Take away USB-C. That doesn't make sense, though, because it doesn't cost anything to put USB-C over Lightning.
No, I don't think it would either.
So that's weird. It's hard.
I would ditch the A12X chip because I imagine that's one of the more pricey ones given how fast it is. So I would say this iPad has an A12, which is fast, but not, you know, crazy fast. And then get rid of ProMotion so it's not 120 hertz because that's cool, but it's probably pricey to implement. And I would dumb down the rear-facing camera a bit. It doesn't have to be as insanely good as the iPad Pro rear-facing camera. I agree on the smart connector. I think that should be a pro feature. If you want a keyboard with the mid-range iPad, you have to use a Bluetooth, and you have to charge it separately. But I personally think that since the budget iPads have Apple Pencil support, the mid-range one should have Apple Pencil 2 support because it'll have that square design, so it could dock real easily. So it would be out there for people who want that new Apple Pencil, but they don't have, you know, the $900 to spend. Because if you want an iPad Pro with an Apple Pencil 2, which I think is the far better docking method of pairing that on top, that's a $930 purchase for the base, you know, for the most cheapest one possible. $800 iPad, $130 Apple Pencil. So if you could get a more affordable a version of the iPad Pro, except it's not called the Pro, sitting at $499, and then that Apple Pencil 2 is $130, that's a under $700 experience. Sure, it's not 120 hertz, but you're still, you know, we know Apple's okay with the 60 hertz Apple Pencil because of the budget iPads. So yeah. I would sacrifice in those areas. I don't know for sure if I would keep the 4 speakers. I think as long as there were 2, people would be okay. As long as there was like one on either side, I think most people would be sold on it. But yeah, in my opinion, those would be probably the areas to compromise on if you were going to make a more affordable version of the iPad Pro. Because as some people have brought up, and I think it's a good point, that the price jump between the budget iPad and the iPad Pros is quite drastic. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same as like the MacBook lineup, where it's like, okay, so portability here and maybe some more pro specs here. Whereas the iPad lineup's like, okay, if you don't have that much money, here's like the non-laminated, old-fashioned, ugly-looking $330 iPad. It's not pretty, but it gets the job done.
Well, it's Apple, and, so you know.
Well, what if I want an iPad that's kind of, you know, more futuristic with
then,
Face ID?
Then
and
buy
that.
An iPad Pro 3rd Gen. It's not that hard.
Then just jump up $800. So exactly. You have a $800
exactly.
starting
buy
price
a Model
here.
Y while you're at it, Drew. Come on.
Yeah. $800 here, $330 here. There's room for something.
Model Y somewhere around there, you know, and then you could put the Model Y inside of the iPad, and then you're perfect. It's perfect idea. Zero
Perfection.
Flaws with that.
There's a 15-inch display inside the Model Y, so.
Just unscrew that and use that as your iPad. Perfect.
Problem solved. Okay, that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, no, yeah, I think that a mid-range zone would be a good spot for Apple.
I can see that,
new.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't like kept around more of their older iPad lineup. So, again, this Talosov network really does follow Polymatter pretty well. So anytime Polymatter wants to join us, you know, come hit us up. You know that.
Please do.
I was watching Polymatter video, and he was talking about how every new generation of Apple products is really not competing against Android phones anymore. And I hadn't thought about that. It's competing with last year's iPhone or last year's iPad. And I hadn't ever really thought about it like that. Like, we're always comparing the S9 versus the S10 versus the iPhone 10 versus the iPhone 10S. You know, we're always doing these comparisons. But in reality, if you're already in the green bubble club, you're not leaving for OnePlus. Sorry, guys. I tried. I barely lasted 24 hours. Yeah, so I totally see where, like, Apple has decided not to have its older iPads in the lineup anymore. Because if they kept the, you know, 10.5-inch iPad Pro with the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, you know, it could get a little convoluted. But at the same time, they still need to hit that price point. They need to find some way to hit that price point. And so, yeah, I don't know what Apple should do. That's why they have...
And they have a thriving third-party selling market.
True. Definitely.
Like the amount of iPhone 10s on eBay and on Amazon and Facebook that are perfectly fine. And in Polymatter's recent video, he talked a lot about the resale value of iPhones and how they're the highest resale value of any phone out there. Like, I thought it was funny that Google had the most depreciating value. Like, if you bought a Pixel, it devalued something like 70% over a year.
91%. 91%.
Yeah, my...
Was it 91?
Yeah, it was like in
last
the 90s.
Year, I bought the $1,100 configuration, and I got I sold it for $950.
Yeah,
that's not bad at all.
And that was
$1,000
over
iPhone.
The 6 month threshold, because I see like after, you know, when you get around 6 months, like things will start to depreciate quickly because they already know. It's coming to the end of that life cycle, at least for it being the new one. And this was, I sold it back in June. Yeah, June. It happened right before WWDC.
Wow.
And
right.
Yeah, I got $950 out of it. I was like, ooh, I'm doing that again. So here's
the open. Yeah, you've got plenty to
That's
come
why
back
I'm hoping
on.
For
yeah.
Product Red 10S and 10S Max because I think I'll get my money back on, or at least I will hold a high part of the resale value I'll get back on the 10S. Especially because it's
definitely.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for one too.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, I think I can attest to the Pixel not being able to resell very well as someone who's tried to sell a Pixel 3. The amount people offer for it is shocking considering how much the retail price of it is. But I think last I checked, Google has like almost permanently reduced the price on
wow.
them because they're not selling that great. Yeah, they're still doing a $200 off right now.
Oh boy.
Like both of them. You can get the 3XL for $700 now. You can get the Pixel 3 for $600 now. Like they've just like permanently lowered them because, you know, they depreciate even from first parties. They can't compete.
So which has depreciating that snowball effect trickling down. That
yeah,
means it'll really depreciate to third parties. Like, oh wow, if even the vendor doesn't, you know, care about the original price, I'm not going to pay anything close to that. And I don't blame them.
Right, because that lowers it. Like, everyone's like, oh, I'm not going to spend. Because originally, when I put my 3XL up for sale, I was like, $500. This thing's, you know, it's worth $900. I'm asking for $500, which mm-hmm. is a pretty depreciating value yeah. already. And people were like, well, I can get it from the website, you know, for this much. Mm-hmm. Or I can get it refurbished for $500. So why would I buy it used for $500? So people were immediately like, can you do $300? It's like on a $900 phone that came out
one
5 months ago.
Cost.
One third what someone, luckily mine was a gift, so I didn't have to pay for this. But
yeah.
Imagine if you had and you were trying to sell it. That's a huge reason to not buy a Pixel if you plan on doing that with your
yeah.
smartphone.
But it has
not to
all
mention
of the
it's a Pixel.
Specs.
Yeah. It really doesn't. I know you're memeing, but it really doesn't have the specs.
It
doesn't. No.
Garbage. That thing's poo-poo.
It's got
Day
nothing.
Day 2 with it. Day 2 with it, it had burn-in. That thing's poo-poo.
I just got Android Q on it.
Ooh. What's new with that?
They added notches and black curved cutouts on the screenshots.
I thought that was Android O.
I have no idea, but I just people
okay.
in my Discord were like, "You can get the Android Q bait on your Pixel. You should do it just because." And I was like,
"Because you know,
all right.
It wasn't working perfectly to begin with, or anything."
Yeah, I was like, "Well, this is basically trash to me now. So let's see what Android Q has to offer." So I installed it, and I was like, "Okay, guys, what's changed?" And they were like, "There's notches in screenshots now." So when you take a screenshot on the Pixel, like that deep, thick notch is there. And also, instead of the screenshot, like an iPhone, going all the way to the corner of the UI, it rounds it off and adds just black corners instead. So basically, it's horrible.
I don't get it. I love how we, you know, it's not an episode until we trash the Pixel. I just, it's
That's
nothing
right.
but it,
exactly.
it's nothing but a decent camera, photo, not even video, photo.
Yeah, I was gonna say don't no.
But Marques, we would love to have you on the show.
Please,
yeah. Please.
These are all the. It's not an episode until we invite Marques.
And by the way, Air Power's dead, guys.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely.
Randy, what are you going to do if Air Power comes out at the March event?
I'm going to go dark for a while, reflect on my life. You're going to see me.
You're going to do like one of those, yeah. one of those Where is John Prosser videos where you're like walking around in the rain.
I'm a nomad.
Looking at
yeah,
bridges.
I'm going to be a nomad and I'm just going to just travel the world and I'm just going to reflect on my life. And then I'll come back and be like, I'm still not going to get it.
Yeah.
It's not practical. I use stands for Qi chargers. It's not practical.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
The whole I have the only one that's not like so. I got the Nike sports band. This is the only one that actually
sure.
detaches. Everything else is a loop. Like I can't use it
mm.
unless they come out and be like,
sure.
oh, by the way, Air Power has this little clicking docking out, and then it's just ugly. No, I just it's not needed. It's really not because I don't. I'm not going to get the wireless charging case of AirPods. I'm not gonna get that.
Oh,
no. I have no need.
No.
If they're not doing any changes to the AirBuds themselves, the AirPods, if they're not changing them until later on this year, it's really no point. Mm-hmm. I can live without the wireless charging and me just plugging this in every 5 days or so. I don't even remember last time I plugged this in and the battery's doing just fine. So I it's not enough for me to do that so I can go out and buy an accessory. It's not practical.
Yeah, now that I'm trying to save for the Model Y, I don't think I'll buy Air Power. I would have, but
yeah,
now I'm broke.
I would have.
We get it, Nick.
I would be surprised if I got a new Apple Watch this year. Honestly, guys, like, probably get a new phone.
Well, I honestly don't know,
but
I don't know what they're gonna do with the Series 5.
Yeah,
to be
you
frank,
say that
with
every
you.
Year,
like,
Drew.
This is. Yeah, but no, I didn't. Like, I knew what the Series 4 was going to be a super cycle. I think most people knew that. Yeah, people were like, okay, Series 4, because the 3 was pretty minor. It was just like,
the 3 was the best iteration of that form. Like, that was the best.
Yes.
Right.
What it was.
But what do you do with the 5, honestly? Make it cheaper? Because I don't care about that. I'm buying the higher
Price
one. You make it more... I've thought about this.
2 EKGs.
No, you make it needs better wireless connectivity as a standalone. That's what it needs. Yeah.
But you're just saying like all that's gonna improve is like how fast it is.
No, what I'm saying is that the cell towers suck and they don't communicate well with the watch as it is right now. And
I don't use LTE.
Yeah, I don't either, but I have enough friends who do, and they who got the model or the Series 4, and all they do is complain, and I'm like, well, you know, that's something they could work on. I think they will work on everything that has to do with
5G.
5G to the watch. Networking.
No, I'm going to get cancer on my wrist now. Lops my arm off.
You can stream videos.
Wrist cancer.
You can... face ID to the watch, everything else that everybody
Jeez.
Wants.
Nah.
No thanks.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
You can unlock it from your iPhone. The only leak I've heard for the Series 5 that Quo talked about was the edition coming back. Is they were going to make the Series 5 would come in ceramic white and gray again.
Model Y, Apple Watch Edition, Model Y, Apple Watch Edition.
You're getting pretty close in price there.
I know, right? They're almost exactly
if you get the solid gold, the solid gold one that can't get watchOS 5.
How does that make somebody feel? I would be.
That could, Nick, that can be your sleep tracking watch.
Okay, good.
That can be the watch.
wouldn't want to get it scratched.
You know what? You'll just wear the gold one to bed.
Oh, wow.
Wear the sport ones during the day.
You're pure gold.
No, honestly, like. This is a little off topic, but Louise pitched to me this this challenge she wants me to do where we go vegetarian for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And if one or the other person. Yes, no, this would be.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, this would be after. No, but I don't want to go vegetarian. I went vegetarian once when I was in high school and it was fine. I just didn't like it. But she said, if you can make it the 2 months. Or if I fail and I eat meat first, then she said, you know, because as a married couple, we have to make like smart decisions with our money. She said, you can spend $1,000 on anything you want, no questions asked.
Ooh.
You know, like, so I'm not thinking of something for the business because those types of expenses she's okay with as long as it's like, you know, for the YouTube channel, like. Okay, you need to buy the watch for the videos and you need to buy an iPhone or you need to buy a slider or a tripod. We're not talking about that those kind of things. We're talking about, okay, something I can't be judged for. And I was like...
Just $1,000?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, what would you get?
If it was higher, I would have probably just gotten, in case the product Red 10S Max doesn't come out, because the terms I've agreed to with my wife is that if the product Red Tennis Max comes out, I'm allowed to buy it because that's like a new phone, and we made a lot of ad revenue off of the product Red 8 Plus last year. So that's like, you know, it's a reason to get the iPhone because it's going to help pay for itself. But if that ends up not happening and I could spend more than a grand, I would get like a 256 gig gold Max or something just to mix it up and have a different Max.
You know, you could probably
but since that's too much.
You can buy the premium white interior on a Tesla for $1,000. just call up Elon Musk and say, I would like to just buy the premium white interior of a Tesla.
Not the car.
Not the car.
Not the car. Just the interior. No, genuinely, I was like, we talked about it earlier of like if one day I was baller enough that I could switch Apple Watches like people switch watch bands. So I thought that was my idea. If I went vegetarian for the 2 months, I would get the space gray aluminum or the silver aluminum Series 4.
It's really even though not the as Series cool 5's coming up. Coming from a guy with 8 Apple Watches or 7 Apple Watches or something, I haven't even counted. You just need one watch. I need two for sleep
tracking.
But Nick,
this is unjudged spending.
No, I'm a judge. Oh, I'm judging. Louise might not judge. Oh, I'm judging. I'm saying you should buy that white interior, though. Like, I definitely.
What am I going to do with that? I get a second PewDiePie chair.
Why would
chair.
I want to do that, though?
A PewDiePie chair for all your stuff, all your Apple stuff.
I would rather have a PewDiePie interior Tesla.
Ooh, that would be cool.
All the inside of the Tesla is a PewDiePie design.
Subscribe to PewDiePie.
I tweeted.
What would you guys get in this situation?
I would get. If I had $1,000 that I won because a bet was lost, or not bet, but like a challenge, I would probably. Okay, hold on. I can't think like a business. Okay.
For me, it's like an Apple Watch. It would be a aluminum Apple Watch. That I would switch to occasionally.
I would spend.
This is like the first. Go ahead, Randy.
I'd get an iPhone XR back in my possession, and then use the other two 250 for watch bands because I don't think I got enough. So that's five watch bands.
Being some nice watch bands.
Yeah, you know what? I genuinely want to try out one of those. I want to try out one of those Apple certified ones. Actual the what are those loop? The most expensive one. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The Milanese loop. I didn't like those. That's not the most expensive one.
It's not very comfortable though. It pinches your hair.
Oh, never mind then. Okay.
Yeah, I tried the Milanese loop and it pulled my hair out. But I was going to say I could get a Series 4 because I don't think the Series 5 is going to be that big a deal. And we've already agreed that I'll be getting one for the channel. So I would be okay with getting either a silver or space gray Series 4. And that's a $500 purchase, which still leaves me with $500 that I would get the, I think, the most expensive watch band, which is the Link bracelet.
Mm, yeah, 550
because
you get in space black.
Those look nice, right. And I would never be able to buy that elsewhere. You know, there's no other situation in life where I'll be able to buy that watch band or convince my wife that it's, you know, a purchase that's a good idea. So I'm like, okay, I get $1,000 of unchecked spending. Yeah. I would probably get that. I'm looking on their site right now. There's some expensive ones. The stupid Hermes bands. Give me a break. Those are ridiculous. The modern buckles.
It goes around your wrist twice.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Twice as good. Unbox therapy.
Yeah, the Link bracelet one I tried at an Apple store once, and I thought it was really nice. And it's only $350, actually.
Oh, really?
So
for the silver or the space gray?
Yeah, the space black is $450.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But I would probably get the silver ones for the my silver Series 4. So I'll have all kinds of watches. And when I'm not using mine, my wife can use the other Series 4. So it's a purchase for us.
Ooh, no judgment.
See, I can sit.
No
judgment.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like one of the first times that I can remember not having like a $1,000 purchase in my wish list. Like,
I thought for a while about another 10R color, but I already have a 10R, so
red. Yeah. It'd be kind of redundant. Red.
I would get a yellow, probably.
You'd be like, ooh, TP yellow, that's all right. I'm off.
Matches his hair. It's okay, everyone.
No, I thought John Morrison makes that yellow 10R look good. I'm not gonna lie. Like in his thumbnails,
filter, though, isn't it?
John Morrison though can make you look good, which is impressive.
Ooh.
Wow, Nick.
That's not.
Wow.
That's not. Ooh.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you next time. This is your Apple not fired sheep guy. Somebody just got fired. Wow. Wow, Jonathan Morrison really makes you look good. Let me tell you, that's some feat because you can't just do that.
Oh my gosh. I love you.
Oh, wow.
It's fine. I get it. I'm just so proud of the roast.
Boom, roasted.
Attack his. Go after his psoriasis while you're at it. Nick, jeez. You notice how he hit his hands in the shot? Oh my God.
You bottle
I'm looking,
three.
I'm just G. looking at that
you
thumbnail.
You need a metal Y at least.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Excellent.
I think we should end
it
there.
We just end it there.
Yeah. Spiral out of
we should end it there because I need to say some words to you once we stop the recording so we can still be
PG. Can't be repeated. Alrighty. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next week. And a couple weeks, we'll do a live tech podcast.
Ooh.
Live streaming from the Talosive Tech Temporary HQ.
That's in 2 weeks.
Anywho, just in 2 weeks. So thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.